are there to help you. There's an old Chinese proverb that says the palest ink is better than the most retentive mind. In other words, if you write it down, you're likely to remember it. So if the Lord speaks to you during this time, write down the things that He says to you. And then during the week, you can review these things and pray them into your life. So the point of giving you this information isn't just so that you know things. It's so that God can use them to change your life. And you can pray them in. Make this part of your prayer list. Let me pray for us as we spend some time with the Lord. Father, over these next few seconds, we collectively want to humble ourselves and pray. Father, we acknowledge that You are a great and awesome God. You're a mighty King, the Creator, the One who speaks things into existence, the One who is the judge of all the universe, the One who is compassionate and loving, the One who is powerful, the One who's forgiving, merciful. Lord, we are awed that You would allow us to be part of Your family, but very grateful that You do. Father, we're grateful for what You've done through Your Son, that You've allowed Jesus to come to the earth to show us what You're like, to die on the cross to pay for our sins, in order that we could know You and be Your children. Thanks so much for doing that. And we thank You, too, that You've sent Your Holy Spirit to be here with us and to live among us. And Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would minister to us here this morning. Lord, every single one of us is here this morning with a need. Now, some of us don't even know what those needs are. Others know what they are so deeply that we ache and have a hard time paying attention to anything that's going on around here. And Lord, whatever the case may be, I pray that You would minister to each one here this morning. Father, that we might hear Your voice where we need comfort and encouragement, that You'd speak that into our lives here today, even apart from the very things that we are studying, if necessary. Lord, where we need challenge and we need the bar raised, I pray that You would do that for us. Lord, where we need help in our struggles, give us that. But Lord, one way or another, I pray that You would speak into our lives and meet with us. We're here not just to pass the time, as You know, Father. We want to meet with You, and we invite You to come to us. And Lord, we are humbled that You would, and we look forward to that time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Old Testament book of Exodus tells us that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Can you imagine what that must have been like? What that must have been like for Moses to actually talk to God in some physical manifestation and to actually hear His audible voice just like one person talks to another. It must have been an incredible thing. You know, as you read about this in Exodus chapter 33 and in Exodus chapter 34, it tells us that something really unusual happened whenever God met with Moses like that. And it tells us that whenever they met together, that after spending time with God, Moses' face would actually glow physically. And in fact, it says that his face shined so much that the people of Israel were scared to be around Moses. And so after meeting with the Lord, he had to put a veil over his face so that the people wouldn't be freaked out by the way that he looked. It must have been an incredible thing. Now, the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in Paul's writings there, his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul refers to this story of Moses, and then he actually applies it to us. And here's what he says about that. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." Now, when you study this verse in its context there, and you read all that it says around it, the thing that you learn is that Paul is telling us this. He's telling us that in much the same way that Moses was changed in a physical way when he spent time with God, in much the same way, in a similar way, God is at work through His Spirit to change us when we spend time with Him. You know, all of us, I think, know that one of the main things that God is trying to do in our lives as we follow Jesus is to change us, to make us more like Christ. In fact, really, the Bible tells us over and over again that following Jesus is mainly about that. It's mainly about changing us. You've heard me remind you on many occasions that the Lord loves us and He accepts us just as we are. But of course, I also remind you that He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. So from the very moment that we come into God's family until the day that we go to see Him face to face, He's at work one way or another at work on our lives to make us more like Jesus. Now, one of the ways that God does that is through spending time with Him in prayer. See, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we come in contact with God in a special way. And as we're in contact with God in our prayer times, He's at work one way or another every time we get with Him to change us and to make us more like Christ. So many of you know a man named Samuel Shoemaker was one of the founders of the Alcoholics Anonymous movement. And Shoemaker, Sam Shoemaker, once said this. He says, "Prayer may not change things for you, but it for sure changes you for things." That's the aspect of prayer that I want to talk about, want to focus on with you this morning. As we spend time with God in prayer, He changes us for the things that we will face in life just through that time in prayer. I want to start our time this morning with just one example of how God does that. One example of how God can take a life and just through the prayer life, change a person. And I want to tell you about a friend of ours. Laurel and I have a friend who, after almost 20 years of marriage, was just ready to call it quits. She would tell you that she had come to the point in her life where she hated her life as it was. She hated her husband. She was angry and bitter inside. And as she recognized that she was that way on the inside, she even really hated herself. And she wanted out. The only problem was is that she was a Christian. And deep down in her heart, she really wanted to live to please God. And she knew that if she divorced her husband, that wouldn't please God. And so she kind of felt stuck. She had a marriage that hadn't turned out the way that she wanted it to, but she couldn't see any way out of it either. And so since she didn't have anywhere else to turn, she decided to turn to God. And she started to pray for her marriage. Well, early on, basically her prayers were just crying out to the Lord. She just cried out to God to rescue her. And she cried out to God about the problems that she had with her husband. And she cried out to God about the anger and the bitterness that she saw in her heart, and cried out to God to change her. And she cried out for months, and she cried out into years. And really early on, she didn't see a whole lot change. But as she continued to cry out to the Lord, over time, God started to speak to her during her times in prayer with the Lord, crying out to Him. For example, one way the Lord did that was through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think all of us are familiar with the words, but listen to them one more time. Paul writes, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. Love is patient," Paul goes on to say. "Love is kind. It's not jealous. It does not brag and is not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You know, the Lord started reminding this woman often of those words. In fact, she would say that she was haunted by those words as they would come to mind, because one day it occurred to her that she might actually go to her grave without ever having loved her own husband like that. And she realized that if that happened, that everything else that she had ever done for God would be nothing, just like the verses talked about. Well, as she began to wrestle with that and wrestled that through in her times of prayer, she began to realize that if there was ever going to be love in her marriage, that God would have to bring it there through her. And so she started to change her prayers. And she prayed, "Lord, teach me to love him." You know, as she continued to pray over time, the Lord also began to shift her emphasis from her husband's sins to really the depth of her own sin in her own life. You know, early on, a lot of her prayers were about blaming him and justifying her. You've never prayed that way, have you? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? But then, as she continued to spend time with the Lord began to speak to her about the fact that she had sin inside of her that was deeper than she ever knew. One day, the Lord spoke through this passage where he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." You know, when the Lord spoke those words to her during one of those times of prayer, she realized that the anger and the bitterness that she had inside was worse than the things that she was accusing her husband of. And so the Lord changed her prayers. And she started to pray to the Lord, "Lord, change me." One of the ways that she took that to the Lord in prayer and asked the Lord to change her was just by praying scripture. One of the scriptures that she prayed often was this one in James 4, 7 through 10. And she prayed, "Lord, help me to submit to you." She said, "Lord, I can't do any of this on my own. Help me. Give me your grace. Help me to die to self and submit to you. Help me to obey you." She prayed, "Lord, teach me to resist the devil." She said, "Lord, draw near to me. Teach me to draw near to you." She prayed, "Lord, cleanse me. Remove the filthiness that's inside my own soul." She'd cry out to the Lord and just weep and mourn and ask God for his mercy. And she would pray, "Lord, teach me to humble myself. Humble me, whatever the cost." And you know what happened over time? Over time, over a period of a long time, but over time, in a lot of different ways, through a lot of different means, the Lord brought her to the point where he changed her. And he took the anger and the bitterness that was inside of her and took them away, and in their place put love and compassion and forgiveness for her husband. Now, this woman is still a work in progress. But she is a different woman today than she was even 5 years ago. And she would tell you that she has changed to the point where she honestly loves her husband because God changed her through prayer. You know, in many ways, her circumstances aren't a whole lot different than they were 5 years ago. But the thing that is different is that there is a radically different woman facing those circumstances. Now, I want to tell you that story this morning because it illustrates for us what I think God wants to do for all of us. See, I think what God wants to do when we come to Him and we spend time with Him is to change us. It may not be a change as radical and as big as that one. It may be one that's bigger. But regardless, whenever we come into His presence, He wants to change us. See, this woman started crying out, God, change my husband. But what did God really want to change? He wanted to change her. She cried out, God, deliver me from this lousy marriage. But what did God really want to deliver her from? From sin that was down inside of her. And you know, the same is true for every single one of us. He wants to change us. And again, one of the ways that He does that is through prayer. And so that raises the question that I want to focus on for the rest of our time. And I've just listed that question for you on the middle of your outline. And the question is this. When you spend time with God in prayer, are you asking Him to change you? And that's the simple question for this morning. We're spending 40 days special time in prayer. But in the midst of all that you're praying for, are you also asking God to change you? Turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm's right in the middle of the Bible, pretty much. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is just a great expression of David's relationship with the Lord. You really see as you read through this just how close he was to God. And I want to read part of the psalm, a good portion of it, about two-thirds of it with you. He starts off by talking about how God knows him so well. Look at what he says. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. So he's saying, you know me. You know me inside and out. So he talks about how well God knows him. Then he goes on to talk about how God is always with him. Look at verse 7. He says, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. Heaven's up, Sheol's down. He said, if I go up, you're there. I go down, you're there. Then in verse 9, if I take the wings of the dawn, where does the dawn start? In the east. And then he says, if I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell on the remotest part of the sea from where David was, the sea was to the west. If I go east to the west, you're there. Verse 10, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And then he focuses on how God put him together. God was even involved in creating him. He said, for you formed my inward parts and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You know, again, just the personalness of how God put him together. And then he says in verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. As you read this, you just sense that David was close to God, and he's just rejoicing in the relationship he had with the Lord. But then, look at how he ends this prayer, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Now, I have to admit, when I read that, I'm tempted to think, why in the world get into that? I mean, why wreck a good time with the Lord by asking him to go out and start searching for sins that I might not know about? I mean, let's face it, I think most of us do pretty well taking care of the sins that we are aware of without asking God to go out and find things that we're not aware of and show them to us. So why in the world would David do that? Why would he ask God, who knows him so well, who he feels so close to say, now, Lord, while we're at it, would you go out and find out if there's any other sins that I'm not dealing with and let me know about that? Well, obviously, David doesn't tell us. He just ends the psalm. But my guess is that one of the reasons that he included that was because David very clearly understood that his fellowship with God in prayer was contingent on his own holiness. In other words, he realized that to be close to God, he needed to be holy. Psalm 66 says this, 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, I don't know whether or not David wrote that, because Psalm 66 doesn't tell us who the author was. But if David didn't write that, he certainly understood that principle, if for no other reason, just because of his own moral failings. He knew that if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this verse before, but the Bible is very clear about this point. It's clear about the fact that if we have sin in our lives that we're unwilling to deal with, that hinders our relationship with God in prayer. The Bible talks about that a lot. For example, in the New Testament, one place where that's discussed is in 1 John chapter 3. Turn there. Almost all the way to the end of your Bible. If you make it to Revelation, you've gone a little bit too far. Just go back about two or three pages and you'll find 1 John chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 18. 1 John 3:18. The same theme. John says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then he says this, he says, we shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And then he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, I realize those verses are a little bit complicated. The language is a little bit difficult. But if you meditate on what he's saying there, one of the things that John is pointing out is that there is a connection there between obeying God and seeing God answer our prayers. That's what verse 22 is talking about. If we obey God, then God will answer our prayers. Now, verses 19 through 21 remind us of the fact that if we are not right with God, God knows that. It's just like David talked about. He knows everything about us. So if we're not right with God, he knows that. And he will tell us about that, because it says he is greater than our heart, and he will convict our hearts if we're not right with him. Now, it's interesting to me that John connects those two ideas here. He connects the ideas of obeying God and seeing our prayers answered. And he puts those two things together. And I think we can assume from what John has written here that if we are not doing what God wants us to do, if we have some sin that we have not dealt with, we're not keeping His commandments and not doing the things that please God, if that's the case with us, then God will convict our hearts about that. So let's go ahead and just apply this, what he says here, to this issue of praying, actually praying. Let's see what this would look like if a person was actually praying. So let's say we're praying. You, me, any of us, we're praying during our 40 days here. And let's assume that while you are praying, God recognizes that there is something in your life that falls short of what he wants you to be doing, some sin in your life, but you're ignoring it. According to what we see in verses 19 through 21, what is God going to do? You tell me. What's he going to do? I can't hear you. He's going to convict you of that, right? He's going to speak to your heart in some way. You know, a lot of this is what the arena of conscience is all about. God is able to speak into our conscience, into our heart, and tell us that we're doing something wrong. So if we're praying, we're going along praying, and there's something that God has a problem with in our life, he's going to speak to that. Now, I've got a question for you. Why would God do that? Why is he doing that? Now, let's answer that question in light of verse 22. There are a lot of different reasons that he would do that, but go back to verse 22, 1 John 3:22. And let's answer that question, the why question, based on verse 22. So you're praying, you're ignoring a sin in your life, and God convicts you about that. But in regard to your praying, in regard to your prayers, why does God convict you of that? What do you think? Verse 22. Anybody have a thought?
Because we're doing things that are unpleasing to him.
Okay. Yes, but why does he want you to do, according to verse 22, why does he want you to do things pleasing to him? That's right, so that he can answer your prayers. You see, God is not looking for reasons to not answer your prayers. See, he wants to answer your prayers. But sometimes, we're not the kind of person whose prayers God answers. So what does God do? Well, what he does is he goes to work to get us to change to become the kind of person whose prayers he answers. So he convicts us of sin so that we'll confess it to him, receive his forgiveness, get right with him, and then he can go on to answer our prayers. Now, again, I don't know for sure, but my guess is that's probably part of what's behind what David prayed at the end of Psalm 139. See, I think David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me," because he wanted to make sure, "Lord, I want to make sure I'm right with you. Before we end this discussion, before I end my prayer, I just want to make sure that I'm right with you." You see, I think one of God's objectives every time we go to him in prayer is that he wants to move us along to make sure that we're the kind of person whose prayers he answers. Now think about the example that I shared with you at the start of our time here today. See, in the example of this friend, I think the Lord was at work patiently and very graciously working in the lives of this woman to move her along to the point where she would be the kind of person whose prayers he could answer. She had been crying out to God, "Save my marriage, change me," and all of this. And yet the Lord knew that there was something in her heart that was hindering him from answering her prayers. Because the fact is, God has certain standards on this. We've seen this. He doesn't answer just anybody's prayers in any time. And one of the prerequisites for having our prayers answered is that we need to be right with him. So with this woman, he wanted to move her along so that she would be the kind of woman whose prayers he could answer. But it's also interesting that one of the ways that he did that was through prayer. as she spent time in prayer. You know, there's an interesting dichotomy there when you look at prayer and how it relates to God changing us. See, on the one hand, God recognizes that our disobedience can be a hindrance to answered prayer. But then on the other hand, He uses prayer itself to change us and to make us more holy and to deal with our sin. Over a century ago, E.M. Bounds made this observation in that regard. He says, prayer produces cleanliness of heart and purity of life. It can produce nothing else. And then he says, unrighteous conduct is born of prayerlessness. The two go hand in hand. Prayer and sinning cannot keep company with each other. One or the other must of necessity stop. The more we pray, the better we are, the purer and better our lives. You know what the application of that is? No matter where you are in your relationship with God, keep praying. Because if you're not where you need to be, He'll get you there. Keep praying. Just keep going to the Lord in prayer. He'll get you where you need to be. Keep praying. You know, when we spend time with God in prayer, one of the things I think we're going to find is that if we stick with Him, if we keep praying, He will get us to the point where He wants us to be, where we're the kind of people whose prayers He can answer. But also, I think a lot of the times we will also find that in that process, God also makes us the kind of people who become the answers to our own prayers. Just like with this woman, this friend of ours that I told you about. 40 days of prayer, great season of prayer. As Michael mentioned this morning, I hope you're having a great time with the Lord. Now think about the fact that every single day, hundreds of prayer requests are going up to the Father just from this group of people here. It's amazing. Hundreds of things being spoken to the Lord every single day just from us. I think a lot of us are just enjoying our time with Him and getting to know Him, and we're asking, Lord, let me get to know You better. I think a lot of us are also praying about people and circumstances and asking God to bring about changes in the lives of other people and in the various circumstances that we face. These are all great things to pray about. This morning, I just wanted to add one more thing to your prayer list, but one thing that is very essential. And that's just that you would ask God to change you. If you don't have that on your prayer list, put it on there. Just ask the Lord, Lord, would You change me as I spend time with You? And a good place to start might be with this psalm that we read from David. And just to start with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Let's just take a few minutes as we close here this morning and just talk to God about that. You know, if it's been a while since you have asked God to change you, take some time to do it. You may want to just use that verse as a primer. You may want to just start with a simple prayer like, Lord, would You change me? Or maybe just ask Him the changes that He would want you to pray into your life. But let's just take a moment and let's close in prayer. You talk to God on your own.
take another moment and pray. Those of you who want to keep praying, just keep praying. The rest of us will sing, I Will Never Be.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again.
Fall like fire.
Fall like fire. Soak like rain. Flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness. Burn away the chaff. And let the flame burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights, there are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. For like fire, rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let the flame burn to glorify your name.
I will never be.
I will never be the same again.
I can never return.
I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again.
No,
I will never be the same again.
Have a great day in the Lord.